Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Welcome to the Monday edition of Sports Time Radio, and good Lord, let's hope we have better luck than we did on Friday. I'm the Big Jack, of course, with me is the man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays. So, you know, make sure you're always over there to kind of check that out. But, you know, hey, stop by there anytime just to see what's going on. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit the link. Get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with 3 E's.
Oh, all right, Dan. So I was, I don't even know the best way to describe it, fed up, pulling my hair out, just tired of all the BS. I got to listen to everybody complain. Well, I should just mention to everybody, the sports writers complain because the Dodger-Red Sox game went 5 hours last night. And, you know, we have to start, you know, putting runners on second base in extra innings because, you know, these games are too long and we have to start getting them over with. But then I got to go on and listen to him exclaim about how yesterday was the greatest Wimbledon tennis final of all time and it went over 5 hours. Huh. What do you make of that?
Because it's not 6 days a week, is that the big issue?
You know, I'm guessing that probably had a lot to play into it. You know, while there are tennis tournaments every week, there are only four what they call Grand Slam tournaments, and Wimbledon is one of those. But, yeah, I just thought it was kind of interesting because while it was a really good tennis match, I actually watched a little bit of it. I'm not a tennis fan at all. You know, it was good. You know, what was it, Novak Djokovic and Roger Federer played really well. Djokovic ended up winning in, I think, five sets, and the last one ended like 13-12 or something like that. So it was a great match, but the baseball game was really good as well. And I was just kind of like, okay, I mean, you know, there's plenty of downtime in tennis, you know, between serves and, you know, switching after games and all that other stuff. So you can't complain about that. I mean, it just seems like there's some kind of, you know, I almost want to say biased against baseball, or these guys are just too lazy to do their jobs where, you know, if they have to work over 5 hours or whatever, they cry about it.
Pretty much. I mean, it's called multitasking, especially in today's world. You know, the LTE-enabled devices let you keep track of everything that's going on. And if you're not up for the entire game, you could easily see the highlights on the next morning. I'm sure they have better access than we would for condensed games as, you know, MLB.com provides or MLB.tv. So, I can see a portion of it, but the whole adding a runner is stupid. You want to call the game. I just say call a tie. What do we need?
You know, to be fair, you know, if it has anything to do with the internet, then anybody has better access to it than I do, thanks to good old AT&T. Yeah, you know, I was really disappointed because, like, I even heard Jessica Mendoza lobbying for this yesterday, her and Matt Vasgersian, and A-Rod kind of shot him down. You know, they asked A-Rod about it, and his answer was just flat out no. What do you think about putting a guy on second in extra innings, Alex? He was like, no. So I got a kick out of that at least. But yeah, I just don't. You know, and I mean, I get it. Like the guy was complaining. Well, you know, did you see the stands? You know, everybody was gone home. Well, it's a Sunday night. It's in Boston. It's midnight. They might have jobs. Yeah, I can understand people leaving, but yet they saw 10, 11, 12 innings or whatever before they left. It's not like they saw three innings left during a rain delay and they finished the other six innings. You know, they saw an entire game. It was their choice to leave. So I just don't get this argument, and I'm just so tired of it. You know, we got to speed up the game. We got to speed up the game. You know, the perfect example, which I actually kind of laughed at yesterday, the Red Sox let off the bottom of, I think it was the 11th, with a double. So you've got a runner on second base with no outs, just like they want. Yeah, they didn't score.
Simple. Well, you know, I mean, you can't use the argument that, well, look at, you know, no one pays for the game. We should do something to speed it up. Well, if that's the case, you know, my father-in-law told me last night that there was a couple of games where there was about 600 people down in Tampa. I mean, at one game.
Yeah.
So if you're going to go with that claim, then you might as well just completely take the team away. Instead of an expansion, you know, just start getting rid of the team because they're not performing or, you know, drawing well.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm really to the point now with baseball where I don't think it matters how fast games go.
No.
You know, I mean, I'm to the point now where, okay, even if you get a game under 3 hours, you know, unless it's a good team, and with the exception of Tampa, who is a very good team, you know, it's just going to be tough to get people to go out, you know, and go see it. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not present on people's mind of, you know, things to do. I mean, you know, I just don't know how they kind of, you know, revive it. I mean, you know, you're always going to have your fans, and the good teams are always going to draw because that's what winning does. Unless you're, you know, like I said, in Tampa or maybe Cleveland, who, you know, for whatever reason, they don't show up either. But yeah, there is no quick fix. I mean, putting a runner on second in extra innings isn't going to do anything to bring people to the game. Because that's only going to happen. I mean, how many extra inning games are there? You know, 20 a year? You know, it's kind of like the intentional walk thing.
Yeah, what did it shave off? 40 seconds, 14 seconds?
Right. So, you know, I mean, that doesn't help anything. Because, you know, I mean, it's just kind of like, okay, well, we're going to stick a runner out here. You know, there you go. Now there's a runner out there. The games, you know, I mean, maybe the games would end faster. But, I mean, at that point, who cares? I mean, the people who have given up on the game have already given up on the game.
Yeah.
So it's not like that runner out there is going to go, oh, hey, wait, there's a runner on second base now. We have to stay or we have to watch. No, it's not going to work like that.
Well,
you know, maybe if baseball was played like it was played and we didn't have 8,000 strikeouts and the ball was put in play a little more, there would be a little bit more excitement about the game. But, I mean, there's, you know, I mean, there's 54 outs in every game, and you got to get on average about 20 of them are strikeouts. So that's exciting.
That's lazy.
Yeah, it was just kind of,
you know, back to your theory on the people who've given up on it that already left. You know, how many, well, I've gone to so many games where it's the eighth inning. They're, you know, the home team. It doesn't matter who the home team is. They could be up by six. They could be up by one. They could be down by four. Well, it's the eighth inning, and we want to, quote, unquote, beat traffic. So we're leaving.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, I get it if, you know, you're at a game with a little kid. And, well, like I said, you got to work. Those things happen. You know, that's part of life. But, you know, it really seems like these idiots are just kind of in it for themselves because, well, I don't want to stay at the ballpark for 6 hours. What else do you have to do?
Yeah,
then get a different job. You know, I mean, that's the way to look at it. You don't want to stay at the ballpark for 6 hours. Go out and find another line of employment. All right?
Well, and I mean, like you said, what excitement really comes from putting a guy in second? You want to make
yeah.
it exciting. I mean, why don't you just go for the gusto and take the two best hitters? You know, give me two teams that, you know, let's say we got the Phillies versus the Angels. It's the bottom of them, you know, we're going to the top 10. But why don't we just get rid of it? And we'll let Mike Trout and Bryce Harper slug it out for whoever gets the home run. Wins the game.
Yeah. Well, you know, that would be a thing. You know, each team gets one shot through the lineup, and the team that hits the most home runs wins.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean,
so,
people would pay for that.
You know. That, and then I realized this other stupid thing I heard, and I guess it actually happened last night in the good old, I think it's the Atlantic League.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Atlantic.
You can now steal first base, which is quite possibly the stupidest thing I have ever heard in my life when it comes to baseball.
No, I didn't even bother. I didn't bother. So can you break that down a little bit on how this will work?
Sure. Well, I can tell you, it actually happened. It was the Southern Maryland Blue Crabs against the Lancaster Barnstormers. Tony Thomas became the first player in professional baseball history to steal first base. Here is the rule, Dan. It's per ALPA, Atlantic League whatever association, and MLB press release. The rule states that a batter may steal first base on any pitch not caught in flight, and that the batter can be thrown out if he attempts to run. What Thomas did is he made it to first base after an 0-1 pitch went to the backstop.
I mean, this is...
So there you go.
This is a great rule for a league that maybe needs to draw and doesn't have the finance to continue. You know what I mean? But this just sounds like something Little League could do.
Yeah, I, you know, I don't even know if, well, Little League couldn't do this because, trust me, I've coached Little League. There would be so many guys stealing first base, it wouldn't be funny, especially at the lower levels. But, I mean, this is just dumb. Yeah, you know, it's like, okay. It's tough for me to even formulate an opinion on this because, to me, this is just flat-out stupid. You know, and I mean, this would be one of those things. If they ever introduced this rule into Major League Baseball, I would stop watching. So. You know, there would just be no reason for me to, you know, to deal with it or any of that other, you know, any of that garbage, because it's just like, yeah. So yeah, there were a couple of the exciting things that went on that we got to deal with, and I did see we finally got a couple trades going here, Dan. Not anything, I don't know, giant or spectacular, but the Red Sox and the A's both added starting pitchers. The Red Sox went out and got Andrew Cashner from the Orioles. They gave up Ia Prado and Nobeth Romero, who are a couple lower-level prospects. Let me see if Cashner's stats will come up with me, Dan. Yeah, he's actually having a pretty solid year on a bad Oriole team. 17 starts, he's 9-3 with a 3.83 ERA. You know, we know him a little bit. He had a short stint here in Chicago that he was a reliever then. But, you know, he's bounced around a little bit. But, you know, the Cubs swapped him for Anthony Rizzo. He's spent time with the Padres. A short period with the Marlins, a year with the Rangers, and now he's in his second year with the Orioles. You know, I know the Red Sox are desperate for rotation help, but are you buying Cashner as the answer here?
Sorry,
did I lose you? Oh, okay.
I mean, you got to do something when you're sending your maybe healthy starters back to the bullpen to be closers.
So, yeah, I don't know. It does appear the corresponding move was for the Red Sox to designate Eduardo Nunez. You know, and then this one I found – This other one I found, it was just, I'm wondering how much of the salary maybe Cincinnati is still on the hook for, possibly Kansas City, because the A's picked up Homer Bailey. In return, the Royals get a minor league infielder by the name of Kevin Merrill. You know, Bailey, his claim to fame is he does have a no-hitter under his belt, but you know, other than that, famously, the Reds signed him to a gigantic contract, and he basically got hurt
never
after that. Yeah, so, you know, like he spent the first 12 years of his career in Cincinnati. Believe it or not, he was actually 1-14 last year in 20 starts. He had made 18 starts for the Royals. He was 7-6 with a 4.80 ERA. I don't know, Dan. I don't know how to look at it. I know he was the Reds swapped him to the Dodgers in that Matt Kemp Yasiel Puig trade, but all the Dodgers did was release him, and it looks like they're picking up the bulk of his salary this year. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess the only plus is he's in the last year of his deal, so they don't have to worry about him after this year. But, I mean, is that rotation help?
I don't know. Maybe he'll pull a Edwin or your guy and pull a no-hitter off him.
Yeah, I just kind of was – looking at it thinking, oh, okay. And I mean, I get they didn't give up a ton here. You know, Merrill is a 23-year-old middle infielder who's hitting 246 at Double A right now. So, you know, I mean, he was a first round draft pick, so, you know, maybe there's something there, but I you know, wasn't exactly the, you know, I wasn't expecting the A's to go out and get like Bumgartner or, you know, Syndergaard or Bauer or anybody like that, but I don't know if this makes them better, which is kind of what you want to trade to do, right?
Yeah. To improve.
So, you know, and I know he's supposed to make a start here. I don't know. I don't think it's today, but coming up, he's going to make a start here real soon for him. You know, and I know they, you know, they ran into some trouble when, you know, Montas got hit with the drug suspension because he was rolling for him. So I'm sure they're kind of scrambling after that, but I'm kind of like, okay. And I don't know, maybe you think maybe they could, can he catch fire? Could Homer Bailey ever catch fire? But can he catch fire and actually maybe pay off down the stretch? Could you buy that?
I mean, but today's starter is only being required to go about four in the third inning. You know, if he only goes through the lineup one and a half times, he might not be so horrible.
Yeah. You know, yeah, I don't know. That was one of those things I just kind of like, oh, okay. And yeah, he's actually scheduled to start Wednesday against the Mariners. So we'll see how that goes. You know, and then the other thing I found kind of, you know, I don't even know how to word it anymore, but I was watching, you know, the Rays were pitching a perfect game yesterday against the Orioles, and they, you know, you know, they made it into the ninth inning, and how did it get broken up? On a ground ball to second base, and I mean second base, but because the Rays were in a shift, there was no second baseman there, and it rolled into right field for a single. So they lost the perfect game and a no-hitter on a ground ball that would have been to the second baseman. So.
Yeah, but I'm not impressed with the combined no-hitter perfect game. I don't really care.
Yeah, well, you know, we did have the other one. You know, the Angels threw the one. You know, it was, you know, I mean, obviously it was quite emotional because they were doing the Tyler Skaggs thing. But, yeah, I don't know. You know, I mean, it's great that, you know, they do it. I mean, it's kind of cool to see. But, yeah, I mean, when it takes two guys, you know, unless it's due to injury, is it really that impressive?
No, I mean, it literally holds no value whatsoever.
So, because it was a big victory.
Yeah, I mean, it holds no value. You know, it didn't help them draw more than 1,000 people, I'm sure. It's not going to help them draw anymore. I mean, even if the game progressed to where, you know, we start to see a starter and a reliever kind of a team, they're kind of going back to back, you know, every fifth day. I mean, when those guys retire 5 years out, it's not like when they are put on the ballot, everyone's going to be like, oh, you remember over their career, they had two combined no hitters together. Yeah, no one cares. It's never going to hold any weight. So the fact that anyone even acknowledges it is annoying.
So, yeah, now I did find this one interesting. And as you know, due to the effect of wide variety of Cubs fans, I'm no longer watching Cub games. But I do still keep up with what's going on and all that other fun stuff. And I noticed lately that the Cubs were popping up in a lot of trade rumors. And I thought, okay, well, you know, they still could use to add bullpen pieces. You know, they've got now and Strope is a very good setup guy. But I don't think it would hurt if they added another bullpen piece, you know, all that other fun stuff. But then as I'm reading here, they're not talking about the Cubs getting bullpen pieces because you would wonder, Dan, like I wonder as well, who the hell would they trade because, you know, they don't have a great farm system. Well, apparently the report seemed to be it's possible that Kyle Schwarber, or are you ready for this one, Chris Bryant could become available in these trades. Now, I know, you know, Bryant is coming up on free agency, so it's going to be interesting. You know, he turned down their 10-year, $10 million deal or $100 million deal in the last offseason. Do you really buy either of these guys going away at the trade deadline while the Cubs are in first place?
No. No.
So, yeah, I just, you know, because I know I've heard a lot of reports. You know, I know for some reason, and I don't understand this, I guess Schwarber would have to be the guy who went back in the deal. But apparently the Cubs are really high on acquiring David Peralta from the Diamondbacks. So I guess if you were swapping Schwarber for him, okay, I could see that. But, I don't. Maybe it's enough for Schwarber. I mean, he hasn't really been the 40 homer guy we were promised, but I don't know. And then, good Lord, if you're going to trade Bryant, don't you have to get the farm for him?
Oh yeah, he's one that would require at least 3-4 guys.
Yeah, if you're going to talk about it, it's like, okay, well, hell, you're dealing Chris Williams. Who the hell's playing third base? You know, unless you get a guy back in the deal.
Well, I mean, don't forget, they signed David Bode, and he could be their full-time third baseman for the next 4 years.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I guess, okay. Sure, I'll go with that. But, yeah, I just found that I don't even know how to describe it, you know, when I saw the names. Because, you know, I mean, I'm not moving Bryant or even Schwarber. You know, obviously I would move Schwarber before, you know, Bryant. But, yeah, it's just kind of like, okay, great. I get that they're still – you know, in need of some help here, but you're not dumping Chris Bryant off for a middle reliever. So, I don't know. So, you know, like the one here, the other one I saw, the other name mentioned is apparently the Cubs are interested in Whit Merrifield, just like everybody else is. But the Royals have already said he has a ginormous price tag on his head. So, yeah, I don't know. So, I guess we'll have to see how that kind of shakes out. But then this is one of the other ones. I always laugh when I see stuff like this. Because the headline to the article says, and even in the article it says, the Brewers have interest in San Francisco Giants left-handed reliever Will Smith. Dan, do you know how many other teams besides the Brewers have interest in Will Smith?
Everybody?
Every team contending for the playoffs right now has an interest in Will Smith. So I don't know. Again, it just kind of made me chuckle because every time I see stuff like that, it reminds me of the fact of you saying, well, you know, these guys have deadlines and they have to write something, because this definitely qualifies as a guy writing something because he didn't have anything else. So, you know, just like, yeah, they're interested in Will Smith. Okay, so is, you know, every other single team in the playoff race. So, but I did see this one just came over here, Dan. Apparently, Dodgers, and you can call this guy a utility man because he plays all over. Chris Taylor fractured his forearm. You know, he made a couple of really nice plays to save that game last night. And, you know, he had been filling in at short while Seager was injured again. So, but, yeah, it looks like he's going to be out, you know, who knows how long with a forearm. But they did activate Matt Beaty from the injured list to take a spot on the roster. You know, I know, you know, Taylor had been better at the plate, but he was he'd been scuffling a little bit this year. But he did battle back. He had his average up to .261. You know, I know early, you know, God, it couldn't have been more than a 6 weeks, 8 weeks ago. He was hanging around about .220. So he, you know, he made a nice comeback. So that's a tough loss for them. I mean, he basically plays every position except catcher, I think. So we'll see how that goes. But I don't know how long does it take to come back with a fractured forearm, Dan? Do you know? You know, then the other, yeah, you know, the other interesting thing is, you know, there was a lot of talk that the Mets were on the verge of trading Zach Wheeler, and you know, the Red Sox stepped up, and you know, it really just kind of looked like he's dating for Bloomberg, and I believe he may have been yesterday. And everybody was kind of talking about, well, you know, is this his last start in a Met uniform? And, you know, how's that all going to work out? Well, as it turned out, he never ended up making that start because he landed on the IL with shoulder fatigue. So this is almost very typical Met, you know, dealings here. You know, you look at Wheeler, he never really reached the prominence that everybody kind of thought he would. He did miss 2 years due to Tommy John. You know, he was good last year. He made 29 starts, 12-7 with a 3.31 ERA. This year, not so good. 19 starts, 6-6 with a 4.69 ERA. But, you know, when you're looking at a guy like this, he's always got that potential. So, you know, teams are always going to be floating around. You know, he will be activated. They postdated it to July 12th. He'll come off on the 23rd. So that, you know, that gives him one start to show he's healthy. So maybe there's still a possibility that he could be dealt. But, you know, Dan, if you were considering dealing for this guy, do you lower your offer now that he has this injury, or are you? And you know, I mean, I guess it shouldn't be an injury because they listed it as like shoulder fatigue. You know, or do you think maybe this is a way they're protecting him to trade him? Oh, wow, I didn't realize it was that time. Maybe we lost Dan to his break, so we might have to wait for that.
No, I was talking, and I didn't get to it. You know, maybe you're right. Maybe they are trying to protect him to trade him. But for me, I was, you know, 2 years off of Tommy John. It's kind of a high, you know, it's a very gross level. So, I mean,
yeah.
Wouldn't you think he's a little bit more on the injury prone side? So what are you really trying to give up for him?
Yeah, that's, you know, that was kind of, you know, kind of my question. I you know, I would think with this going on, I've been talking to the Mets. I'm kind of like, okay, well, since this guy's hurt, what about Syndergaard? So, you know, I think I would probably rather try to switch up and go that route and you know, see how that kind of works. But yeah, I don't know. I was a little, you know, little. I don't even know. You can't say surprised, but interested to kind of see if or how they were, you know, they were going to work this one out. But it's, you know, it's the Mets, so it'll blow up in their face.
We'll give you this guy's take on the Bobby Bonilla contract.
Yeah.
You know, kind of backtracking a step or two to the Kyle Schwarber rumor. I mean, for trying to be the smartest men in the room, or however you want to put it, but do you think the Cubs kind of dropped the ball on getting any real value out of even a possibility of a trade with Kyle Schwarber? When, you know, and of course, I can't say that Rick Hahn wanted him, but after watching Eloy this weekend with the White Sox, I mean, just over the past month or two, we didn't get as much of the Babe Ruth hype as we did for Schwarber. But, you know, after watching Eloy out there in the deep, you know, playing the field and his bat, I mean, he hit a home run yesterday that shouldn't even been a home run. Now is that, you know, because the MLB juiced the balls, whatever. He's still knocking it out, and he seems to have great potential over the next, you know, the life of his term. I mean, I would definitely feel a lot more confident if you had Hayward and Eloy in the corners than having to play the matchup game with Kyle Schwarber every day. Well, he can't bat against lefties, so we can't ever play him against left-handed pitchers. I know I'm talking about something that we can't change or do anything about, but, you know, like you said, the farm system isn't really there for Theo and the Cubs and Theo. I mean, so don't you think with him playing the smartest guy in the room, he actually put himself in a corner where he's not going to be able to get out of it?
Yeah, you do wonder. I mean, in the one term, you're right. You know, if they would have traded Schwarber in the offseason, they won the World Series, they would have gotten a mint for him. You know, every single American League team would have been lining up to get him as their DH. There wouldn't have been a doubt in my mind that every team would have wanted him. And, you know, the Cubs could have pretty much asked for just about anything at that point. So now, yeah, I mean, there's, you know, how much value does he really have now? I mean, he's almost Dan Vogelbach light, isn't he, at this point?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of like, oh, okay, great. But, yeah, I mean, you do wonder, you know, the Cubs are going to run into that, you know, that crush here. You know, I think Lester's deal is up after this year. Bryant is coming up as a free agent soon. You got Javi Baez rolling in there soon. Wilson Contreras. You know, I know they're a big market team and they have all this money, but they're not going to be able to re-sign every single one of these guys unless, you know, they're all going to say, oh, well, we'll take less money to stay here. And that doesn't happen in baseball all too often. So, maybe somebody's got to go.
No, and, you know, and I know it's all been part of Bryce Harper's game or MO to kind of troll the fans and troll the media. But, I mean, with the way things have gone over the past couple of years, I mean, do you think it's even at all any likelihood that somehow Chris Bryant ends up in Philly?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, Mikhail Franco hit a walk-off home run yesterday for Philadelphia, but they haven't really been happy with him as their full-time third baseman. If they could add Chris Bryant, oh, yeah, they would do it in a second.
And, you know, with that dynamic, I'm assuming you would put Well, Joe Maddon and the Cubs would put Brian in front of Harper, but I don't know. Wouldn't that be one of those where you put Brian behind Harper? So they have to pitch to Harper? You've got like this killer combo that people would be afraid of. Maybe then I'd buy into the Phillies.
Yeah. You know, there definitely would be, you know, stuff there. And yeah, Brian actually, he is he's got two more years before he hits 50. Yeah, it's 2021 for Bryant, Baez, Schwarber, and Russell. So
well, you know what, the other thing that's interesting with them too, like I said, I know you haven't been, or you said you haven't been watching much of them. But with the more playing time that Russell's been given at second, since they realized that the Descalso signing was a complete failure and trying to put him out there all the time.
Yeah.
That tandem of Russell and Baez has really been, they've been looking great together. And I get it, there's all that, you know, backlash and the, all that stuff behind Russell, but, you know, time heals a lot of wounds and people will move on. And I mean, you still have the guys who are just going to absolutely hate him. But, you know, he's making the steps towards becoming, you know, doing what he's got to do. And he's not been kicked out of baseball and he hasn't violated, you know, so I can go on and on. But if you can kind of keep those two together, and, you know, he was pretty much trash. Everyone wanted to drive him out of town. And it's amazing when he's actually getting the playing time how the defense makes a huge difference. And it wasn't so much the offense that won them the World Series, more so as it was their defense.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's a gold glove caliber defender, no matter where you put him. Second short, I'm sure he could do it at third. You know, there's no real question with him as a defender. You know, I don't think he's a 20-plus homer guy like he happened to be that one year. You know, I think that was an anomaly. But, you know, I mean, he is a, you know, he's a quality player. And, you know, I mean, I guess the question becomes how long does he get punished for what happened? You know,
yeah.
I mean, I get it. It's a big hot button issue right now, and you know it was obviously terrible, but you know he did what he was sentenced to do. And again, remember, he wasn't charged by the authorities with a crime. He was charged by Major League Baseball. So I know it's kind of, you know, they have to be the judge and jury and the executioner and stuff here, but, you know, he doesn't have a criminal record. So, you know, eventually you got to kind of decide if he made a point or not, I think. But, yeah, like you said, there's always going to be people who are – you know, they're going to, you know, they're not going to like him. And, you know, sadly, you know, the minute he slumps or the minute he makes a mistake or something like that, you know, that's the first thing that's going to come out.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, think about his wife and the kids. Well, yeah, that's what I'm thinking about, because if he doesn't play, he doesn't get paid. And she doesn't get
right.
that money to help take care of those kids. So it's a double-edged sword, whichever way you look at it. And I think some people need to take that into account too. But as far as the talent goes, which is what we try to evaluate, you know, giving him a more regular spot, and he's almost playing, he's playing like a traditional second baseman would. You know, the batting numbers aren't all the way there, which, like you said, you really shouldn't be expecting a 20-plus guy hitting out of second base. You know, obviously Brian Dozier's term was an anomaly, because he hasn't been able to repeat that since leaving Minnesota. You know, and like I've said a million times, when it comes to the National League, you cannot and will not ever have eight guys who all hit 25-plus home runs. It's just never going to happen.
Are you sure? Oh.
Yeah, well. Well, maybe if they do our, you know, our extra innings replacement, then maybe you'll get more home runs out of these guys.
So, yeah, you know, you never know with the way go in today's game. So,
but I mean, for the Cubs
to
trade Brian, they'd have to get the farm, especially with, like you said, now this season, you know, this half, and then the full next season, they'd be asking for a lot. And would they really? Who would give them some major league ready talent, you know, to fill in that bullpen? I don't really see that happening. And like you said, this team's in first place. Why the hell would you break up what's going on? Because David Bodie played a few good games at third base.
Yeah, well, you know, you look at the comparison. You've got Bodie hitting .245 with 9 home runs to Bryant, who's playing right field tonight. I know you love that. Hitting .296 with 18 home runs. So, yeah, you know, however you want to look at that, or you want to, you know, see how that kind of works out. But, you know, it seems like you would probably rather stick with Chris Bryant, you know, and I, you know, like I could understand, you know, if they swapped Schwarber for David Peralta, I think there would be some fans upset because, you know, he was a hero when they won. But
yeah,
when you kind of look at it, it's probably better for the Cubs. You know, Peralta's a natural outfielder. You know, he may not have the power, but overall I think he's a better hitter. You know, he may only be a 25 homer guy, where Schwarber could be that 30, 35 homer guy. But,
yeah,
you know,
but
he's a better defender. Right. You know, better defender. I mean, there's so much more you could add in. So, you know, and I'm willing to bet that the Diamondbacks probably wouldn't take that trade straight up. The Cubs would have to throw something else in. So, you know, it just kind of the way things shake out. But, I could see that happening, maybe not even this season, but, you know, maybe in the off season, Kyle Schwarber moves on. That wouldn't surprise me. You know, they would probably be smart to hang for an American League team where they may be able to get equal or even a little more value. But, you know, who knows?
Yeah, and, you know, I didn't read the article, like you mentioned. The Brewers are interested in Will Smith. Like you said, who the hell is it?
So, yeah, I just kind of, you know, that's just one of those things that makes me laugh. It's like, yeah, great. Who isn't? So, you know, so are the Cubs.
The Cardinals, the Yankees, should be, you know what I mean?
The Phillies, the Red Sox, the Braves,
But to switch gears up a little bit and hot trades, we didn't get to talk about this, obviously, last week, but I wanted to kind of get your take a little bit. You know, when the NBA offseason started, I was like, oh, it's over. You know, the Lakers got Anthony Davis. There's not really going to be a whole lot to talk about. And then we were kind of punched in the gut with, I almost said Addison Russell. Russell Westbrook going to Houston to kind of join up again with James Harden. I wanted to kind of get your take, what you thought about it. And do you think this is something that can make Houston maybe dominate a little better in the West?
I'm really kind of, I don't want to say non-committal, but really unsure, you know, how this works out. I do like the trade. I think Westbrook is a better player at this point in his career than Chris Paul is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many people would agree with that, but I definitely think he is. You know, especially offensively. I'm not sure how the, you know, the mix works because Harden is kind of a hold the ball, pound it into the court, and take the last second kind of shot guy, where, you know, Westbrook is more of a get up and down the floor. But, you know, Westbrook, you know, he does average over 10 assists a game. So it could work. You know, I don't know, you know, does it make them the best team in the league or whatever that is? Probably not, but it, you know, it's still, you know, it makes them at least interesting, right?
Yeah, definitely makes them interesting. I mean, it's the, no, throw me, I'm so off right now because I, mixing up my hockey and my NBA, but are the Bulls and the Bucks in the East or the West?
The
I don't know
East.
Why I thought of that. Oh, they are in the right division then, right? The right side of the country.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never mind. My theory was off.
Yeah. Well, I did see a humorous story, and this was in Chicago, so of course this is why it came out. But there were apparently reports that the Bulls were interested in trading for Russell Westbrook.
Well, I'm sure they were.
Now, I you know, again, I don't know what in the hell the Bulls could have possibly given, you know, anybody at this point to get even a ham sandwich. So I don't know what they, you know, they would have had to given up 7 first-round picks to the Thunder to get Westbrook here. But, yeah, I just thought it was humorous because, like, really, like, yeah, like, the Bulls are going to make this move, you idiot. You know, I don't know who reported the story, but they should probably be fired. So
it's probably NBC Sports Chicago.
Yeah, well, that's why I saw that. I just don't know who actually, you know, reported it. You know, it was probably a Dave Kaplan thing and, you know, something he wanted the Bulls to do. And then, you know, he wanted them to go out and sign, you know, all the top free agents because it doesn't matter if they go over the salary cap. So.
Yeah. Well, it's just funny that I throw that out, that it's NBC Sports Chicago, and I was right because they always throw out the most ridiculous the most ridiculous theories that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
So they're classic. I wish I had an example, but, you know.
Yeah, I just thought that was kind of funny because I was like, wait. Because, like, I had never heard at all that the Bulls had any interest whatsoever in being involved in the Westbrook trade. And then I saw it there, and I was like, wait, they were? And what were they offering?
The manager, Bolin or whatever his name is.
Yeah, you know, you're giving them Chris Dunn. You know, Chris Dunn, Zach LaVine, and 15 first-round draft picks to get Westbrook here?
No, they were going to trade Dunn and LaVine and then the Windy City Bulls, their G League team. That would have gone to Houston, too.
So, yeah, it was just kind of like, oh, okay. You know, I mean, that's like one of those things. It's like, yeah, well, you know, This guy's on the trading market. Well, of course, you know, every team is there. The majority of teams are going to be interested. Now, you know, Westbrook didn't draw that kind of attention, but, you know, at least for the Bulls, he would be a bit of a drawing card.
Oh,
but, yeah, you know, it was just like, wait, what are they going to give him?
do you throw that clickbait? Or headline grab, whichever one you prefer. You throw that up there as high as the Cubs trading for Mike Trout.
Yeah.
Those theories were thrown out there.
So, yeah. Well, you know, I mean, this was, you know, one of those things where, you know, I mean, the Cubs trading for Mike Trout actually has more of a possibility. No. I mean, there's absolutely, you look at the Bulls, and with the exception of the first-round draft picks, because obviously they're all going to be pretty high. What the hell do they have that anybody wants? And I'm tired of people trying to sell me on Zach LaVine being the star of the team. Yeah, not happening.
But
sorry, guys.
Jack, he won the slam dunk contest.
Yeah.
In a game that doesn't do slams in regular game unless there's no one in front of you on a fast break.
Right, yeah. As long as there's nobody open at the three-point line, you can dunk the ball.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
But, yeah, I just couldn't figure it out. I mean, you know, I know they just re-signed, what was it, Ryan Archidiakono. I mean, I guess you could throw him in, and, you know, there's got to be some, you know, some other guys. But, yeah, you know, looking, you know, they could throw your guy Denzel Valentine in. So, but yeah, okay, cool. I'm looking, I pull up the roster now. I don't know how the hell this team's going to win 20 games.
Are they going to be the new Sixers?
Yeah. Now, with the NBA new tanking rules that you're not, you know, you're not going to, you know, you can slip in the lottery like you can. I mean, hell, there's a chance this team's going to be rebuilding for 7, 8, 9 years if they don't get lucky with a draft pick. You know, it could be them and the Knicks in the mix every year for ping pong balls.
Yeah.
At least the Knicks were lucky enough to move up to 3 and land R.J. Barrett. You know, the Bulls fell to whatever it was. You know, what?
Well, and I was going to say the next great, you know, young kid who comes out of Chicago with the legacy that the Bulls have, you know, way post-Jordan, he's not going to want to play for the Bulls.
No. God, why would you? So.
You know?
But, I did see while we're on the NBA, I don't know if you caught this one, but after I know they've been trying to trade him, but I guess they couldn't find any takers. It looks like your guy, J.R. Smith, is going to get released by the Cavaliers. How long do you think before he signs with the Lakers?
Wait, he was dropped from the Cavaliers? Or?
Well, he's going to be. They're going to waive him. It's not official yet, but they tried to trade him, didn't have any takers. So it looks like they're just going to cut him. And then you're right, his first call is to the Lakers, or his agent's first call?
Yeah, well, I mean, I honestly, a couple of weeks ago, I seen a meme where someone created it. It was classic. It basically just said, not even the Lakers agreed to it, but J.R. Smith just signed himself to the Lakers. Or, you know, it was along those lines.
Yeah, that actually would be kind of fun. So, yeah, because I saw that.
Well, that was a waste of a contract. Good thing, what's his name, was listening to LeBron on that one.
Yeah, well, you know, that cost LeBron cost Cleveland quite a bit of money. I mean, Tristan Thompson got a gigantic deal, and JR got his, and, you know, all that other fun stuff. And, you know, that's why Cleveland is where they are now. I'm not going to be able to do it. time long at